is a different matter, another matter. No, kasi nito yung katanda yung surat mo. Talaga, ang diyan nga talaga. Okay. Pero atensyon kita alas 7:03 iti Rabi, so kastay ko na kita tayo. Kaya baka natin narod, special guest ng Rabi. Ni former nga ito world chess champion Mr. Bobby Fischer niya. Ken parang daw lang ta ba beto ka ta ma interview ita ka rabi dito manin bomborajo at matter of fact san lang nga naminsan nga na interview so the sigod nga malagi pyo ni zona libre din nga kaya used to be anchored by our assistant station manager at kiti dia nga tatan kaya our station manager bumo pa lumerkado mo yung kasi kaya dapat ilibro na detay yan so that's what Bomborajo Baguio proud of and because of our station manager in the name of bumo pa lumerkado so he will be the one to interview Mr. Bobby Fischer nga kaya of course kaya i-co-host na natin interview nga kaya siyempre, siguro ano kaya dito mga reporters, basta kita may gaw lang. Yeah, English na ito. Di ba nito? Dito yung station manager tayo, at iwin na ito eh. At iwin naman ano, pangyukti ka. Ending niya lang niya. Mas pero pa yung adi, English tayo ng Pilipino, hindi. English na niya, mamaperdi. Well, siguro, maraming wala siguro basit niya. Kaya na, siyempre, baka dati kahit nga kawit. Okay, siguro kita sakbang ipatutulim niya siguro kini Mr. Our Station Manager who po mutag ng merkado. Kaya ta, siguro, siya, para kanag kata, it's my pleasure, yeah, to have with us tonight, yeah, the friend of Bomborajo, world chess champion, Mr. Bobby Fischer, and of course, our station manager, Mr. Bomo Pablo Mercado. Good evening, Bomo Pablo, and Mr. Fischer.
Yes, thank you very much, Melchor. As you mentioned earlier, we're honored again tonight. We're going to have Mr. Bobby Fischer with us. Of course, this is just a continuation of our previous interviews with the World Chess Champion. And to get the record straight, of course, today it's a few minutes past the hour of 7. It's already 5 minutes past 7. And tonight is Saturday. It's the 30th of June, year 2001. And there's so many things we have to cover with Bobby right now. Before everything, of course, I'd like to Bobby to well, at least greet our listeners right now. Good evening, Bob. And welcome again to Bomborajo.
Oh, hello, Pablo. Very nice to be back.
Yes, and so many things to talk about, as I said earlier. And, and of course, yes, this is Melchor.
How are you doing, Melchor?
Sometimes.
I like you talk against the World Bank and these kind of big institutions, huh?
And that's part of our topic tonight, of course, with Bobby. You know, just a few minutes ago, Melchor, I've been talking with Bobby, and he showed me so many things that he would like to cover tonight. And we'll talk first, siguro, of these newspaper clippings that he has. These are clippings from Philippine newspapers, and you would be surprised. These are recent stuff. Bob, can you tell us something about these clippings that you've been keeping?
Yeah, since this Beacon's robbery, since the U.S. government expropriated a whole room full of my cash, valuables, and other belongings in Beacon's in Pasadena, California, I've been cutting out a lot of clippings, you know, to back up what I'm saying. So,
all right. I don't know where to start, actually.
One of them is from the, Time Magazine also, but almost all of these are from local Philippine newspapers. Well, and just in front of us on a pile, you know, that we can... here's a story. This German was nabbed with 1.1 billion... fake U.S. bonds. This is from the Philippine Star News, Wednesday, June 27, 2001.
What's
that for? Well, it shows that a lot of people want to rip off the United States financially, which is fine with me because, you know, what do they say in Spanish? Ladrón que roba ladrón, no es ladrón, right?
Yeah,
ladrón
is a thief.
No, if a thief robs a thief, that's not robbery, you know?
Oh!
I mean, so The United States is the biggest criminal, the biggest thief in the world, the Jew-controlled United States. So if people want to counterfeit their bonds, like this guy, or counterfeit their U.S. money, go do it. Just don't get caught. You know, I don't like to see you go to rot in prison.
Anything that goes against the United States interest.
Especially financially, because the United States, this whole Federal Reserve thing is a big robbery, a big swindle in itself. You know, the Federal Reserve is a private corporation owned by the Jews. Mm-hmm. It's a license to counterfeit.
You remember one time in the past that we were talking about the World Bank, and you said that the money of the World Bank, in fact, the World Bank is being run by the United States. Most of them are Jews even.
Sure. I just had a clipping here. You know this new president
of Peru.
Yes. He is from the World Bank. Yeah.
And where is it? I have that clipping. Yeah. Let me get out in a second.
Here it is. This is from the Manila Bulletin, June 5th, 2001. And it says this guy's name is Alejandro Toledo, and Toledo, a shoeshine boy who rose from poverty to become a World Bank economist before entering politics and so forth. He's from the World Bank. He lived in the U.S. before he came to, before the CIA sent him down to run for president.
Let me take a look at this first paragraph. It says here, Peruvians elected a rags-to-riches economist as their next president in a vote, etc., etc.
Right.
I remember the last interview, you were quoting from the book of Babian.
Right.
And then the book says, you're what a Cinderella type of.
Right, she talks about my winning the world title, the world championship back in the 72. He called this a Cinderella ride for me. You see,
isn't that the same thing with what this news from?
Yeah, but it's well, not the same thing. I mean, it could have been. Why didn't they say this about this guy? His Cinderella ride to the presidency of Peru. Because he's working for the Jews, right? And the Jews control the Associated Press. So they're not going to talk about him having a Cinderella ride to becoming the president of Peru. You see? So, and you remember I mentioned that.
Yeah.
It would be more apropos to have said about me that it was a racial Alger story or an extra riches story, right?
Yes.
You don't use this Cinderella ride for a man, right?
They should have used the same thing. You know,
I guarantee you, Bobby Ong wrote an article about this Alejandro Toledo. He would not talk about his Cinderella ride to the Peruvian presidency. He knows exactly what he's doing, this Bobby Ong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this Bobby Ong, if he said that about this Alejandro Toledo, he'd lose his job. He'd be finished, you know. Mm-hmm. Imagine if Bobby Ong wrote about Mike Tyson, his Cinderella ride to the boxing crown, right? He probably get his ear bit off, right?
I guess so. What are the other things that we have here?
Yeah.
I noticed some of your clippings, involves issues about our previous president. We have other issues here, like issues about radio announcers who got killed.
Yes, I
but it's quite a dangerous job, you see.
I took a number of clippings out about that.
Yeah.
One of them even said he was Bomba Radio, but you say that's not true, no?
No, it's from a different radio station.
Yeah, it said a radio commentator in Zamboanga City was killed, and then it says police believe that Jun Cayona, broadcaster and commentator of DXLL, Bombo Radio. That's not true?
No.
Oh, okay. But anyway, the guy from a radio station was killed, no? So.
Well, you know, when they say Jaika comes from Bomboraj, it's because the most popular station is Bomboraj anyway.
Ah,
so they think that all broadcasters belong to Bomboraj.
It says here, police believe that Jun Cayano, broadcaster and commentator of DXLL, Bomboraj, based in Zamboanga City, was killed after he refused to stop discussing sensitive issues on his program. This is from the Bandera, May 31st, 2001. And then they tell how he was knocked off.
let's talk about the United States steel mill.
Yes.
I came across a clipping that you showed me a while back about the cleanup of toxic waste.
Oh, yeah.
In the two bases that we have.
Yeah.
You know, why did you keep this?
Well, it shows that it is real that the U.S. has polluted Subic and Clark areas. And also, it had a very interesting quote, which to me, I think, shows the low moral level of the United States. This fellow is Robert Underwood. He's a U.S. representative, Robert Underwood from Guam. And it says, here's a quoting him saying this. This is what he told the U.S. Congress. Both our nations share, I'm sorry, this is from the Philippine Star, June 19, 2001. Okay. Here's what he said. Both our nations share a profound concern for the quality of the environment, and the U.S. has a moral obligation to the Philippines to cooperate in ameliorating this environmental degradation. Now, first of all, it's much more than just a moral obligation. This is, I think, a legal obligation. When you poison an area, you should be legally obligated to pay, and I'm sure they are legally obligated to pay. And secondly, there's anything about money, right? Just
no.
And then lots of people are dying, right?
Right.
And have died already.
Right.
They say that, here it says, the People's Task Force on Bases Cleanup, FTFBC, has monitored no less than 100 mysterious deaths among folk who had lived at the evacuation center since the eruption of Mount Pinatubo in 1991. But I'm sure many, many hundreds, if not thousands of people are sick and dying from this pollution in the bases, because they've got every kind of pollution imaginable, radioactivity and,
In Clark alone, I came across a news story that kids are dying there daily because of the poison that they get from drinking water.
And what about the birth defects that I'm sure they've occurred too, right?
You know, that's interesting. We've had some communications with the U.S. government regarding this thing. And unfortunately, all that they were able to give us are, press releases like those things and promises. Do you think the U.S. government is just about ready to help us out, clean up those bases?
No. I think the standard procedure of the U.S. in these kind of cases, like with Agent Orange, with the American servicemen, and then recently over in the Gulf War, many veterans were getting sick, right?
Mm-hmm.
They deny, and then little by little they make small admissions, and they wait until as many people as possible have died off. And see, then maybe 25, 30 years later, they start to admit, yes, it was caused by this probably, and then they start to give small amounts of money. See, that seems to be their strategy. Wait till as many people as possible die off.
Why so? I mean, if they really acknowledge that it was because of them that this thing happened, why don't they just...
they want to pay as little as possible,
That matters.
Yeah.
I think Melchor has a question regarding this. Do you have a question, Melchor?
So what's now the intent of the U.S. government?
They're still in a delaying phase. They will delay and delay and delay.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will start to talk settlement, but it will be very, very small amounts. And I don't think you'll get any real money on this thing for at least another 10 years, probably. Maybe more. Even then it will be a tiny fraction of what you should get, tiny, tiny fraction. It won't even be 1% of what they should pay.
In the same manner, there's this clipping too about, responsible biotechnology. There have been allegations in the past that the American government spearheading what they call biopiracy.
All right, well, that's another article, Pablo. This is responsible use of biotechnology.
Oh.
This is an article. This is talking about the Catholic Church here. Came out with a pastoral statement regarding the use of responsible use of biotechnology. And then they give the various points, 1, 2, 3, and... well, anyway, they believe, the gist of it is that they believe biotechnology should be used, but it should be used safely. And I'm completely opposed to this genetic engineering. I don't believe in tampering with nature at all.
Cloning?
I don't believe, well, cloning, I don't believe in putting genes from one plant into another or from one animal into another or taking out genes, you know. This is absolutely monstrous. And I think every religious person who believes in the Bible, especially, that the God created the world, how can he talk about a responsible use of biotechnology? I mean, I don't understand the logic, because presumably God made everything perfectly, right? So, this Cardinal Sin, I don't want to knock him. I don't want to say he's a CIA rat, but I understand he did study over in the States. Somebody told me this. But in any event, him and Ramos were a part of this team who pushed, him, Ramos, and Mrs. Arroyo were part of the team who pushed Estrada out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now he's giving the soft sell go-ahead for biotechnology, which I'm sure pleases the U.S. very much. So you can see where this cardinal sin is coming from.
You're saying he might have been coached by the CIA?
Oh, absolutely. By the U.S., the CIA, sure. He's their man.
How come, Mr. Bob?
Well, this whole thing with Estrada, I think clearly the U.S. was back of it, pushing him out. I'm not saying he didn't do anything wrong, but in the context of Philippine politics, he's not that big a crook. People are telling me Ramos stole much more than Estrada.
Yeah.
So, I just have an article here. It says about, this is from the Philippine Star, June 5, 2001. They asked Estrada, Ramos, some time ago, President Fidel V. Ramos was asked to, this is an article, by the way, called Roses and Thorns by Alejandro R. Rosas. This is from the Philippine Star, June 5th, 2001. Some time ago, President Fidel V. Ramos was asked to explain where those funds went. Oh, let's see, this is talking about the billions that went to the armed forces, no? Yeah, it's where those funds went. Okay. And his reply was, the money is there. The question then was, where is there? So some people are saying he took the money himself. I don't know. But I've heard that he's a very, very rich man. This is what people are telling me.
Well, that's the difference between the two leaders. One was not caught, the other one...
well, that's another thing about this Estrada thing. This is trial by publicity. He was pushed out illegally. They should have continued to the very end with the impeachment process. They had no business starting it and then dropping out in a huff. If they believed in the impeachment process, they should have gone to the end. If they didn't believe it, they shouldn't have started it. Right? And so then they pushed him out in a military coup. It was a military coup. This people power, too, was just window dressing, because they were not going to come running into the Malacañang. This was window dressing. What really happened was a military coup. But they don't want to admit that this is a military takeover. You know. So, this whole thing with Estrada is quite illegal.
By the way, they're about to start off with the trial of the cases filed against Estrada.
Yeah, yeah.
The court yesterday ruled against a television coverage of the trial. What do you think about that?
Well, that's a separate issue. We've had that in the States, too, about TV coverage.
I was thinking about what happened when Estrada was booted out from Malacañang. It's because of that coverage. They say, well, some people say it is because of the television coverage of the impeachment hearings. So this time the court would not want to inflame the emotions of the people by coming up with the television coverage of the trial.
Well, generally speaking, I don't approve, I think, of television coverage of court proceedings myself. Because it just sort of puts everybody's grandstanding, you know. So that, but